Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go. If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered. Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant. So let's renovate Australia. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Katie, what have you been up to this week? You've been very busy.
I have been very busy. My day job has been really busy the last couple of weeks, which has been great. But I guess for us, the last few weeks, I've been buying more stuff to fill our tiny 100 square meter house with, because obviously clutter is what everyone wants in a small house.
Well, we're thinking for the big picture. Like, we know you're going to renovate, you'll have more space eventually.
Right, yeah. There's been some great sales on, actually. So the latest purchase was a beautiful buffet from Freedom, which I got on sale, which, love a good sale.
Was this your second COVID purchase?
Well, I would say yes, second, because it took a little while to get there.
Yeah.
And then the third one turned up a day before the second one.
Oh, no.
Which was quite funny, actually. I was kind of against it to begin with. But we ended up getting a Vintec wine fridge, which doesn't fit in our kitchen. So it's actually in the lounge room.
So you've got to renovate now.
Yeah. So technically, yeah, we have to renovate to fit it in. But funnily enough, I actually saw it on our guests' Instagram page, which is why we bought it. So we'll get into that shortly, but yeah, we'll share a photo of what it looks like in Cindy's beautiful kitchen, because that's kind of what we envisage for ours. But yeah, what have you guys been up to?
Oh my God, what a week. So I feel like every podcast, we're just going around in a circle. I know what I'm doing. We go back, we change our mind, we put ourselves on hold. We were so ready to go ahead with all of our renovation, and we were like ready. We had the town planning lined up. Yep. We've got everything sorted, and our plans aren't ready, and there's some problems with them, and we're just way back to square one. Well, no, we're not. That's a complete exaggeration. I'm being dramatic. We're not back to square one, but we are not ready to submit these to council, which I'm actually really devastated by. But do you know what? Everything happens for a reason. Maybe I'll like get some inspiration from this beautiful home we're going to today and change my plans completely. So maybe that's why.
Don't know. I totally agree. Everything does happen for a reason.
Yeah, we'll just hang on to that for a bit longer. Amazing. All right, well, let's get into it, guys.
So today on the podcast, we are joined by the beautiful Cindy Mead from Reno Diary. And Cindy's here to talk to us today about flipping for profit. So Cindy is a seasoned renovator, have flipped multiple properties before, and she's here to share some of her top tips and tricks on how to flip for profit, as well as sharing some of her beautiful styling tips, because her current house is amazing. She'll also share some tips around what to do when your offer has been accepted on a house, but it's not quite the house of your dreams.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. We are joined by a very special guest today. We have Cindy from Reno Diary.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on the podcast.
It's amazing to have you here, and I am joined as always by my co-host, Katie Caudry.
Hello guys, very excited to be here this morning, having a little bit of a fangirl moment as we are actually sitting inside Cindy's beautiful renovated Queenslander.
And it is beautiful. I mean, on Instagram, we saw your house and we're like, oh, so much inspiration. It's just so nice. Like the perfect whites, perfect balance of everything. And to be here in person is so special. So Cindy, tell us about you. How did you get into your renovating journey?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks so much for the comments on the house. The good thing is you've only been upstairs so far. So it's all very beautiful up here. I won't take you downstairs. You might change your opinion. But yeah, look, my story started quite a few years ago, back in 2014. We commenced renovating with a small little post-war cottage in Mitchelton. That was a really slow burn, a project that took about 3 years to complete. And then we've since completed another reno, so second project, which was also a post-war cottage in Mitchelton. A bit of a quicker turnaround. That one was completed in about 18 months. And then fast forward, here we are today. This is our third project, which is the Queenslander that we always wanted. And we're sort of partway, I guess you would say, on what's going to be our biggest project so far.
Yeah, wow. So who is we? Who makes up the dream team that create these beautiful homes?
So it's myself and my husband, Dan. We're both 33. We're actually high school sweethearts. So we've been together next month, actually 17 years. So a really long time.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And then our little dog, Missy, who you both met, who, again, been part of the family for a long time. She is about 14 years old. Mm. So we've had her as well for quite a long time. And she's a key member of the family, and she's a supervisor.
Oh, right. Very, very important.
The most important job.
She does a good job. Watches very closely.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So do either of you have a trade background?
I don't, but Dan does. So he works, at the moment he works for a commercial glazing company, but he started out as a glazier. So that's his trade, which is, for those who don't know, windows and doors.
Yeah.
So he's a site supervisor now, but he started on the tools.
Nice. And I've seen a few little Insta stories of Dan sort of getting involved. So how handy is he? Obviously, being a glazier, I'm not too sure exactly what they do, but I've seen him working on the front fence and it looks pretty
literally.
Bloody good.
Yeah. He does such a good job. He's one of those people, like, whatever he lends his hand to, he seems to do a really good job. I think working with glass, you have to be really precise. Mm-hmm. So he's really handy. Everything that he does is really great. He's built the front porch. He does the fences. In previous renos, he did things like tiling, plumbing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's quite handy, and I'm probably more, I don't know, the little site labourer. I do painting, cleaning, prep, bringing sandwiches, keeping him hydrated.
They are very important jobs.
And the most important job is I always bring a beer out as the sun's setting. While he's still working, I bring the beer out and I have a wine and watch. So that's really important.
Yeah, 100%. And the styling is incredible. We were just talking before we started recording about how many things we love in your house.
Thank you.
So is that all you?
That is me. And the styling has changed. So the first house was really different. Same with the second one. I've had a different color palette and different furniture, which we've sold each time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is all me. It's a bit of a passion. I don't have any qualifications. I just like putting things together the way I like it, and it seems to work.
Yeah. So your style has obviously evolved over the last three renos.
Mm.
Is this your forever home, or is this something that you're sort of styling in a particular way for an end buyer perhaps?
Yeah, this is our style. So the first two were definitely whatever was on trend, not the sort of things that we would have wanted to keep long term. And it was definitely more thinking about when we were to sell, how it would be styled and how we'd present it to the market. We've pretty much sold all of that furniture, thanks to Gumtree. good to get rid of a lot of it. And now this is us. This is what we want. This is a house that we hope to be in for 5 to 10 years.
Yep.
Long term, we would love to relocate to the coast. Long term.
Yeah.
But for us, for now, and where I work and that sort of thing, it's really great to be in a city. Mm-hmm. So this will be pretty long term for a change.
How nice. It's so good. And so what made you choose this house?
Look, it's one of those stories. It's a bit of a funny one because we had just finished the last house and it was going to market, and we saw this come up and we had an open home for our property to sell. And I said to Dan, well, while we've got an open home, why don't we just go and have a look at this Queenslander? And he's like, no way. Look at it. It's going to be over $1 million. And we obviously didn't have that sort of budget. It'll be too expensive. I was like, well, what else are we going to do? Let's just go to this open home while our open home's happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, we turned up. It ticked all the boxes. We decided to go to the auction and we won the auction and we bought it. It was a super quick process, but we knew that the next one had to be a Queenslander. We didn't want a post-war cottage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we loved this location. It was a bit closer to the city again. So that's kind of how it happened.
How good. All right. So when you've started on this journey, your very, very first project, what made you do that? What made you want to start renovating?
Okay. Long story, but I'll keep it as quick as possible. When I grew up, my mum, single mum, always renovated houses. So we lived always in a renovated house. We were renovating. We would sell it and then move on to the next project. And I hated that growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't like living in the projects while the work was happening. So I kind of swore I'd never renovate. The first house we bought when we were 21 was a brand new brick home in the suburb of Narangba. Mm-hmm. We lived in it for a few years and realized that as we'd bought at the height of the market, we were never going to make money on it unless we sat on it for 10, 20 years. And we just decided that if we were ever to get closer to the city where my new job was, that we were going to have to buy a cheap house that was not what we wanted to live in, but that was going to get us to the end goal. So I guess learning mistakes from that first house, which we hung on to, and we ended up renting it out. But yeah, we started renovating houses to get to where we are now. It was... At the time, I didn't think we'd have to do it three times. If I'm honest, I thought it would probably be one reno and then ta-da, here's the Queenslander that you wanted. But it doesn't work like that. And we scraped every penny that we had together to buy that first house. And the reno was super basic, facelift, no structural changes, just to sort of flip it and make some money. So that's kind of what it was. It was just to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, cool. So always that bigger picture in sight and using that as leverage to get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we couldn't afford a house like this, this close to the city at the time.
Yeah, that's a great approach. That's really cool.
It actually makes sense too.
Yeah.
And funny that you do mention that it took two to get to here.
Yeah.
Which I think is something that potentially some people think or have this vision in their mind that, oh, I'm just going to flip a house and I'm going to be able to go and buy $1 million property or whatever next. Whereas I guess in today's market, potentially it could take 2 to 3 before you can get to that.
Yeah, well, the first one we bought in the 400 bracket sold in the 500.
Great.
Then bought in the 600, sold in the 700. And now we bought in the 900 bracket. And we've only, as you can see, done this kitchen reno so far. But even having the house valued, it's now already over $1 million. So if you look at that over the period when we started in 2014, in 6 years, to go from just scraping our pennies together to buy a $400,000 house to now owning something that's worth over $1 million. It's been really hard work, but we would never have been here right now if we hadn't have gone through that journey.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I think that's lost. A lot of the time when you look at people and you just see a glimpse on Instagram, you're like, oh my God, they're so successful. It looks so easy, but there is so much hard work and backstories and, journeys that people have been on. It's not instant. It's not overnight. Mm. You don't just walk into a house and make $1 million.
Yeah. No, not for us. We've never had anything handed to us. And so much hard work. Like if I think of over the last 6 years, how many weekends we have spent renovating. It's crazy to think of all the hard work, and we both work full time in really challenging at times, stressful roles. So it's been really challenging and tough, but so worth it.
Let's talk about this current house. Mm-hmm. And before you mentioned the kitchen's been done and that you're not going to let us downstairs, even though I really want to go downstairs to have a look now. But what's next? So the kitchen's done. I mean, the deck is beautiful, fresh coat of paint outside and the fence. What's to come with Casabella?
So on Tuesday, the pool's being dug, which is exciting. started the process back in February.
Wow.
So we're building it's a concrete mineral pool, heated pool. It's quite big, which is really exciting. That is starting on Tuesday, and then building all of the decking, fire pit, pizza oven, outdoor shower, like just ticking all those boxes for outside living.
Yeah,
love that.
So that's the next project, which is really exciting.
Cool. And so talking about downstairs, when would you look to what are you planning to do downstairs?
So downstairs is 3 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. We've got the laundry and we've got a bathroom. So we need to do a bathroom reno, put new carpet in the rooms. They're pretty much good to go with just carpet and some paint. And then just making the downstairs living area look a little bit better. It needs paint as well. So it's going to be, I think, a really quick job downstairs. The bathroom reno, we should be able to complete quite quickly. It's just going to be that outside stuff that takes a long time. And Dan plans on doing a lot of that himself.
Yeah.
So it's going to look great, but it's going to take a long time. But we should be hopefully enjoying that area come summer, Christmas time at least.
Yes. How exciting. And so obviously, like I know we've spoken about COVID a few times on the podcast, but for all of us renovators, I guess, how has it impacted you guys? Like, has it slowed your project down at all or...
No, we're very fortunate. When it hit, I think like everybody, we were all worried about job security and finances. And once we'd got our head around the impact from a work and finances point of view, which for us, fortunately, has been pretty limited. And once we knew that construction could carry on, we then had the confidence to continue. We didn't want to cancel on our contractors. Mm-hmm. We've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, that's so, it is really nice to hear that you guys have been able to continue. Because obviously we know a lot of people, even ourselves included, have put our projects on hold for the time being. But
I think you just, once you know whether you're stable at work and that your finances are going to be okay, so that gave us that confidence that I understand not everybody would have. And some people, you know, lost their jobs, and there's been so many really heartbreaking stories. So we've been really thankful and not taken that for granted at all. Every day we kind of think about how lucky we've been to be able to keep going.
Yeah.
How good. So Cindy, when you bought this house, when you first walked through the door, try and paint a picture for us. What did it look like? We are sitting here in this most beautiful kitchen, dining, living area now. What was it like when you first walked in?
It was very different. It was very dark. That wall over there that's now floor-to-ceiling windows was all timber louvers that were pretty much always closed. There was a wall running down the centre of this room that we're in, which we've obviously removed. So it was a big structural change. And everything was dark. Dark floors, dark kitchen, dark timber, grey walls. It was just really dark.
And that's not you guys.
No. And so now, as you can see, it's really light. There's French doors on every wall or windows. It's all white, which is what I love. So it was really different and very old school, just really old. It had been renovated about 20 years ago.
Wow.
So the style throughout was obviously very different to what it is now.
Yeah, amazing. And talking about light things, I'm looking at your floors right now, and we'll put in the show notes your Instagram so everyone can check them out. But tell us about these. Where are these from? Because I am obsessed.
Look, they are... they're hybrid floors, which is great. So hybrid flooring from E-Flooring, who were amazing to deal with. One of our only trades, to be honest, that started and finished on time and were just a pleasure to deal with. And this is the Ornato hybrid flooring, and the colour is Sophia. So we wanted a really light. We looked at the black butt, but this is just a bit lighter, more like I call it an ashy blonde sort of flooring. So really light, coastal, nice wide planks. And they were great. We could lay them straight over the flooring that existed, and we've also laid it over the top of the tiles that were running through the house downstairs.
Yeah, wow.
So really easy to install.
Okay. And so did you look at other options when you're installing these? We need to look at floorboards. We have original floorboards, but they're full of holes. I think I'll fall through them if I try and sand them or do anything. So that is not an option for us, unfortunately. So we do need to look at other options. And in previous renos, we considered vinyl planks because it was a flip house. It didn't matter for us. For this home that we're doing now, we are looking at something different. So did you go through all the different options?
We did. What I originally wanted was sort of the herringbone sort of look, but the parquetry flooring, that sort of thing. But we couldn't afford that. That was really expensive, obviously, to go with hardwood. So in the end, we had to go for an engineered product. And the good thing about this flooring is that it was cost effective. It's the look that we want. It's waterproof.
Yeah.
And it's all in one. So the underlay and the flooring is sort of all one piece. So it's really quick and easy to lay, really cost effective. And there's no sort of sound issues. You can't sort of hear any tapping or hollow areas. You can't feel any movement in the floor. It's actually been a really good solution.
And they look beautiful. Like they look really high end. So I think you've done a great job.
They've come a long way since the old sort of just basic laminate flooring that I said I would have never had. I think with flooring these days, there's so many great options that are cost effective. And a lot of people are going for hybrid is what I keep noticing. It's a really good option.
So let's talk about your style. It's obviously very light and bright in here and absolutely gorgeous. What sort of influences your style?
With this house, I think, just wanted to have it really pared back and a lot of neutrals. And the first color palette was peach and navy. The second was blush pink and gray. And I think I was just over the colour. So over the colour. And I just had to get rid of all of it. So for me, I think I was just done with colour. I wanted something that was really neutral that I can add colour to later if I want. Mm-hmm. And because we're going for an Italian coastal feel throughout the house, I will have splashes of navy and things like that around the house. But really just neutral, natural fibres, natural textures, lots of light timber. Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of theme that we've gone with obviously lots of white, and we love that sort of marble and stone look, which you'll see, and just touches of brass. I always like to have a metallic in there somehow. And because, as you can see on the French doors here, they've all got natural brass handles. There's a lot of natural brass fittings with the house that came with the house, the original brass fittings. So we wanted to kind of let that flow throughout the house as well to keep some of that original character.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And do you have some go-to favourite stores?
Go-to favourite stores for me are Uniqua.
Oh,
love
yes.
Uniqua.
So in love.
Globe West. And then from a styling point of view, I love Sunday Society. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of stuff from Sunday Society. Obviously, they're a local Brisbane store, but they have an online store as well. And then the only other one that I would say is one of my top go-to shops is Adairs. I just love Adairs. And then one thing I've noticed lately is I keep finding good things in Target and Kmart.
Yep.
So you can like sort of splurge on the big pieces like this table.
Yeah.
But then styling, like that styling arrangement there is largely Target pieces.
Yep.
So it's a bit of a
mix.
It
looks beautiful.
Well, I've put a Christian Dior candle with it. So I feel like I've got my Target and Kmart pieces, and if I pop a Christian Dior candle there,
I love that. And I think that's good because for me personally, my style changes all the time. Like my palette and what I'm working with is pretty consistent. But in terms of like vases and knickknacks and things that I want around the house, I'm always changing my mind. So if you buy it from a cheaper store, that gives you the flexibility that Nick won't kill me if I throw out that vase that was $120. Don't listen.
Literally, yeah, that's exactly right. Because I'm the same as you. I will change those pieces up all the time. Mm. I get sick of them. I wanted something new. And if it's $12, then it's easy. Send it to the Salvation Army or one
You're
of those charities.
You're doing good for the world.
Yeah.
I like
that. I drop off things at Lifeline a lot. Lots of homewares. So.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, we need
Lifeline, Newmarket Road. You might find some good pieces.
Guys, we're going to camp out. Next time she's dropping stuff off, we'll be there. Oh, so good.
Cool. So, I mean, through your reno journey, what's been the most, I guess, challenging part of it for you guys to date?
There's been a lot of challenges. I guess one of the first that comes to mind for me and more recently was the kitchen reno and just living without a kitchen, which initially was supposed to be about a 6-week period. But then, of course, we had to demolish the kitchen that was existing. So there you add another 2 weeks. And then there's always some kind of delay, which there was. So all in all, it was about 10 weeks with no kitchen.
Wow.
Eating microwave meals. I'll never, ever have a microwave meal ever again. We've actually got rid of the microwave. That's how bad it was.
Oh my God.
You can't see a microwave in this kitchen. I will never have one again. So I think that's really challenging, you know, not having those sort of things, the day-to-day essentials like a kitchen.
Yeah.
That's probably been the biggest challenge more recently. I think when it goes back to previous projects, the first one was our most challenging because we bought a house that had already been renovated with lots of really dodgy add-ons and so many things to fix that we almost had to fix everything before we could get started. So that was a lot of time and money and frustration. And, you know, we learned from that you need to go for an original canvas. Mm-hmm. And at the time, again, like I touched on before, we didn't have a lot of money. All our money went into buying the house. So, you know, over a 3-year period, we were trying to just bit by bit renovate this house and fix all these problems. So that was a really challenging reno for us as well.
Is that something you can pick by eye now? Like, is there anything people can look out for that shows that, hey, this is a bit dodgy, they've tried to do it here? Do you have any particular points that you can sort of guide people with?
Yeah, I think you know, and you can tell by speaking to the agent about the history of the house and who's owned it. You know, if you're purchasing from potentially you know, an elderly couple who are ready to downsize, and you walk in and you can tell that this is original, that they've lived in it for however many years, that's the sort of thing that we would look for. Or you can just tell when you're looking at it, if there's an extension and you can just see how the work has been done, or the add-ons, and you can tell, I think, just by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But those original canvases, which is what our second project was, are just so great to work with. There's no surprises. There's nothing that needs to be, you know, really fixed before you can get started.
Yeah. And did you have anything that just completely didn't go to plan the way that you sort of thought it would?
Oh, yeah, lots of things. I think one of the mistakes that we made was we actually put an offer on a house in Ashgrove in Brisbane a couple of years ago, and the offer was accepted. So then we started looking into what we wanted to do in terms of raising the house, putting an extension on. I engaged a friend who's a town planner for some advice, and turned out that we were in a flood zone.
Of
where we were located, the extension we wanted to do, we weren't able to. So we actually had to pull out of the sale, which cost us, you know, the deposit that we put down when we put an offer on and signed the contract.
Yep.
So that was an expensive mistake, but I'm glad that we pulled out, because we wouldn't have been able to raise it and do the extension.
Yep.
And we really learned from that, that even if you don't, you know, get your offer accepted, it's still important to do all of the background checks and make sure that what your sort of plans are can actually go ahead. Because if we hadn't done that early on, we wouldn't have been able to do it. And it was a small two-bedroom house that couldn't have really ever been more than that.
Yeah. Wow. That's so important. And
yeah.
It like really talks to our episode that you would have heard last week with Jess. So she talks about all of those different things and how you can find tips to look up those sort of conditions that would be set on that property. So that really hits home that, hey, this is something you've got to do before you make an offer.
Yeah. And we were shattered because we loved that house and the location, and it ticks so many boxes for us. But, you know, it was obviously a blessing that we were able to get out at the time. So I would definitely say do your background work and checks.
Yeah, totally. What a great lesson to learn. I mean, well, not a great lesson
it's
to
terrible,
learn,
but it's important.
Good. Yeah.
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 And I can share that with everybody else now.
Totally.
100%. So great segue. What are your top tips for someone who's renovating a house?
Top tips, you know, I guess it depends on whether you're renovating to sell or if you're renovating for yourself. If you're renovating to sell, I think it's really important, and kind of regardless, but to know the market in terms of when you go to buy the property. I'm just obsessed with property. I will watch the market, properties that have sold, you know, what's for sale, and just get a feel for what I should be spending. You know, if I'm going to put an offer on a house, I want to do it confidently and know that I can walk away if it's not accepted, not go higher, you know that walk away point, and just know that if you buy a house and your offer's accepted, that you're starting off on the right foot. You haven't paid too much. You're setting yourself up for success. So I think knowing the market, watching it really closely for at least 6 months before you buy, that will really set you up. The other thing that I would say, obviously before I touched on, go for an original canvas. Don't buy a property that needs a lot of things fixed with dodgy existing renos. And the other thing is just to use your network. So we have a lot of friends or friends of friends of friends who have different trades. And it's amazing how just name dropping or going through an acquaintance can actually help in terms of mates rates and prices, because at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to.
Yep.
Is spending as little as you can, doing as much as you can yourself, give it a go, but really just using your network to keep those costs down.
Okay, love the tips. Really helpful, especially for us and everyone else out there that's
good.
Probably starting their reno journey.
Good.
What's the most rewarding part?
Oh, there's so many rewards. The most rewarding, I guess that's really hard to answer. When it comes to selling, when you have finished that reno and you have the first open home and you get that feedback from the real estate agent that people are loving it and this is what they're saying, and we've already got 7 offers, and
yeah, wow.
That's the success we've had with the last two, is multiple offers on first open home, really quick sale. that is so rewarding, you know, when you pop that champagne, when it's all a done deal and you have a look at your bank account and you go, wow, that was hard, blood, sweat and tears, but look where we are now.
Yeah.
So rewarding. And then even little things like for us, I still remember in this kitchen the first night, not everything was connected and there was no water, but just having tacos at the kitchen bench and going, oh my God, look at this beautiful kitchen bench. Yeah. There's, you know, sorts of moments make it so worthwhile. There's a lot of reward, I think, for the hard work that you put in.
Yeah. And just leading on from that, the last thing I want to cover with you, but something that I need myself, I know a lot of our listeners are in the same boat and will need it as well, but what's your top tips for styling to sell?
Styling to sell? Well, for me, I'm no expert. I'm definitely not a guru, but I would just be looking at what is sort of on trend and making sure that you're capitalizing on space. So maybe go for a smaller dining table. Still go for your four-seater, for example, but go for something that's slightly smaller to make it look bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever the trends are, I think that people really like to walk into a home and see that it's new and it looks good, and it might be the sort of thing that they've envisaged in their own head that they would like. So they start then picturing themselves doing that and having that same sort of furniture and that sort of thing. I know that for the people that bought the last home, I'm connected with them on Instagram. We met through the Reno Diary, through my Instagram page, and I can see their furniture and they have a very similar setup and lots of similar things to what we had. So I think that they walk in, they have that vision, and then I've seen that be recreated, which is actually really nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on board and joining us today and sharing all of your journey and your tips. So we'll pop it in the show notes, but where can people find you? Where can they see these beautiful floors and all the things we've spoken about today?
So it's all on my Instagram page, which is just Reno Diary, which I've been running for a few years now, so since the first project. So that's where it all is. And you know, if anyone has any questions or wants any more info, feel free to just reach out there. And hopefully it's been interesting and you've got some valuable tips from today. And thank you for having me.
No, it's been amazing.
I really appreciate it. It's been really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely learned a lot, can take a lot away from today's episode, and I hope everyone else can as well.
We'll see you next time, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your Reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.